Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwoods 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. You know what? Holiday sales have been great at both locations, because people understand it's a great time of the year with the great interest rates and deals. Well, guess what? You could put a bow on something in the driveway for Christmas Day, which is just a week away. It's just a week. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Josh Yowie, Pittsburgh Tribune Review on later today. Can't wait to talk to him. We have Corey Geiger, Brian Tripp on tomorrow's show. Pete Jensen from NHL.com and Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, also coming up on Friday's show. Then Monday we'll check back in with you, and then on Christmas Eve we're going to have on with us Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, Frank Bodani, York Daily Record, and also Jeff Byers from Penn State Wrestling. I'll talk a little Zane Rutherford about what he did last weekend. So that's what we have lineup-wise heading into Christmas. And don't forget, Santa's going to be on tonight, tomorrow, Friday, and also Monday and Tuesday from 6 to 7. An 80-year tradition here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And on Christmas Eve, I mentioned Tuesday next week. Well, that's going to be a special one, and we're looking forward to that very, very much. Needy Family Fund yesterday climbed over the $61,000 mark. We're headed for $75,000. What this does for people in our area is something that is very, very important. There are people in need. They don't want to be in need. They don't want to take handouts. They know darn well that if they do at this particular time, it'll benefit those around them. You just never know what happens. I mean, we have Geisinger near us, so we know that there's so many stories in there. But somebody go, they lose their job. Suddenly they need the Needy Family Fund. Well, thanks to the efforts of Susquehanna Bank and so many others, it's made a big, big difference. Big difference. So whatever you can do to donate, we'd appreciate that. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. Kevin Herr is alongside Captain Happy Go Lucky.
Hey, I'm excited tonight. I have basketball after Santa. At Mifflinburg, the Braves open up Heartland Division I conference play against the Wildcats on the road.
Good. Looking forward to that. That'll be this evening, just after 7 o'clock, following Santa Claus. Up next, Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports. Welcome. Great to have you with us here on this Wednesday. Kevin is here to explain why Philip Rivers is better than Peyton Manning.
It was a joke.
And Buhner is here with intelligent sports commentary.
And he's not here at all. So, you know. Oh, wait. He does have intelligence. Does he have intelligent sports commentary? No.
Yes.
He doesn't have intelligence. Look, there's nothing there. There's no audio at all. Oh. Poor Bob. Poor Bob.
Bob, it's all right. Just overcome this insanity.
Yeah. Steve, why don't you ask Kevin to explain why I was not on the air at Chickalamy's Fieldhouse last night, although I sat right next to Steve Williams and tried to broadcast.
I turned your mic off.
Exactly.
Well, people have been wanting to do that to me for years.
My mic didn't work last night. Apparently,
it's Kevin, a conspiracy, yeah. Bob. It really is. Come on.
So we had a technical difficulty from the field house last night, and so Steve had to shoulder the whole burden of announcing the match.
Now, are you there for the big match, the big tournament on Saturday?
I will be there when Shikellamy dedicates the what they call the field house into the Phil Lockhoff wrestling room mat, and we don't even mention basketball in the same realm it's wrestling.
This is a little known fact. Phil showed up at a lot of basketball games and sat behind me over the years. So Phil followed a lot of sports.
He did, and then at 4 o'clock, the wrestling match between Kennerdale High School, which is down around the Maryland line, south of York, who has a very famous high school wrestler whose name I won't utter at all, comes up with a former Shikellamy wrestler, Mike Balestrini, as the head coach, and they take on the Braves. So that'll be
a great one. Well, it's great that that Phil's being honored in this way. I mean, it's obviously been a hard year. And the only thing that when something like this happens, you wish that it had happened when they were there to appreciate it.
I think that's so true, Steve. I think that's exactly right. And
we wait too long on things.
Yeah, it's always nice to honor somebody, but when it's posthumously, it's a little bit difficult. Although I am told that part of the festivities will be a get-together at the Sunbury Elks around 8 o'clock that evening to celebrate in a way that Phil would have found very acceptable, including some great wrestling talk, lots of laughter, and occasional adult beverages.
Yes, lots of beverages, yes.
So, yeah, Brewers Outlet better stock up the Elks for Friday or for Saturday night.
Yeah, we wait too long sometimes.
I agree with that.
And but in the end, I think it's great in the end that for his family, they'll be able to enjoy, what his life and what and the lives that he impacted and what it means.
Well, and there are plans for many of his former wrestlers to make it back to Sunbury and to be part of the dedication ceremony. And, you know, he's had a few outstanding wrestlers in his celebrated head coaching career at Shikellamy.
Yeah, no question about it. But you know what? Sometimes it's not just the celebrated ones that everybody knows about. The number of lives he impacted of those that weren't as celebrated but ended up having celebrated lives.
Oh, that's right. And how many people went on to success because of the lessons learned by them and taught by Phil Lockhoff in the Shikellamy wrestling room that go unnoticed in terms of wins and losses or district or regional or state championships won, but have nevertheless, as you say, Steve, been seriously and positively impacted.
So, I mean, that'll be special to have that happen as part of the dedication there. And of course, then you've got the big tournament coming up. So
yes. Should be fun.
No, it should be a lot of fun. I think that's...
just want to briefly mention that there's another wrestling match that Pennsylvanians are eagerly anticipating when they the lads go out from University Park to Iowa.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Jeff Byers coming up a little bit later.
Oh, great.
To talk about Zane Rutherford and to talk about, obviously, the matchup with Iowa as well. Look, let's give some credit where credit is due here. Tom Brands of Iowa and Kale Sanderson of Penn State get it.
Oh, yeah.
And this is how they get it. The way Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt did at one time. They understand that they are the name brands in their sport. And to avoid one another would be bad for the sport. And I think it's very important that they wrestle because even though it's a non-conference matchup between two conference rivals, it advances the sport of wrestling. And it puts the sport of wrestling on that particular night on the map because for the most part, the sport of wrestling is nowhere near the confines of the mat. Despite the passion in our area, I'm giving you a national view, okay? In Texas, they don't care about your kid in District 4. Okay, because they don't wrestle in Texas.
Well, I understand that, but what the people in Iowa have to understand is that we here in Pennsylvania invented high school wrestling, and they are just usurpers, and we have to repeatedly go out there and teach them a lesson. And hopefully,
tell me how you really feel, Bob. Don't hold back now.
But it's also really good though for the sport that they're doing this, because
it is.
And what they've done, and they're also trying to save as many wrestling programs as possible. Wrestling is still on the endangered list.
It is.
In a lot of ways, in collegiate wrestling. And when athletic departments get in trouble financially because of the numbers involved, it is something that, you know, that is on the table for discussion.
Yeah, it is, and this just goes to illustrate, at least for these two programs, that they can draw huge crowds, and
yes,
and within the confines of collegiate and high school wrestling and wrestling fans everywhere, this will be a big draw across many states, because so much is at stake when we go out and beat the Hawkeyes.
But again, it's like Tennessee and UConn and women's basketball for many years. During the course of the year, it was, in the regular season, the only game.
Yes.
And I say that with all due respect to everybody else. I'm just giving you a national viewpoint. It's the only one that drew any ratings, got any respect, and drew any interest. Well, that's why Penn State and Iowa are wrestling. They understand it advances the sport.
It sure does.
Josh Owey, Pittsburgh Tribune Review on the Pens coming up in a few moments here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Christmas Eve, we're going to talk with Tony Knopp. It's my Christmas present to Kevin.
It's a great present, too.
Where we talk business, talk money. But I'm also going to explain to... We're also going to explain Super Bowl ticket distribution.
Now, that part I'd be interested in.
Gee, Bob, how happy am I now?
Made my day so far.
I think I'm going to take off that day.
I think there's two things we know about Super Bowl ticket distribution. One, they're expensive, and two, Kevin's not on
the
list.
And I don't get any. That's right.
He wouldn't go anyway. He just wants to go to Fan Fest and play little games.
Please tell me, if we get the chance to go, we'll go to Fan Fest. All right.
Josh,
please tell me I'll go to Fan Fest.
You can go all you want. Buhner and I are there for the game. Josh Yowie is with the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. He covers the Penguins. Wrote a very thoughtful piece on the Brooks Orpik Sean Thornton incident, which landed Thornton a 15-game suspension. Josh, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you and your family.
You as well.
Appreciate that. All right. Let's talk about the Thornton-Orpik situation. You wrote a very thoughtful column about that. What was the gist of what you tried to get across in that column in discussing the situation?
Well, a lot of things happened that night in Boston, and I will tell you that, you know, a couple of years ago, I actually asked 15 of the Penguins if they believed in fighting, and if there was still a place for fighting in the National Hockey League, and 14 of them said, absolutely, there should still be fighting. And the one guy who did not was Brooks Orpik, and explained to me that he had, you know, read some newspaper articles and such about, you know, stuff that had been done on players who fought a lot, some of the brain damage that they had received over the years. And his words to me were, he didn't want to be a vegetable someday, and he just wasn't going to fight. And he hasn't since he told me that. And the fact that Sean Thornton felt that Orpik should be obligated to fight him, and then basically stopped him for about three shifts before finally pulling him down and just unloading on him. I just thought it was a terrible night for the National Hockey League, and I think Sean Thornton, who's appealing his ruling, is pretty lucky that he only got 15 games, because if he would have done something like that out on the street, he'd be in prison right now.
Exactly. Were you surprised Brendan Shanahan only gave him 15?
A little bit. I thought it could have been more, and I know, you know, the NHL does not have a history of disciplining people, you know, the way other leagues do. You have to do an awful lot to get a suspension in hockey, so I guess when taking that into consideration, it didn't shock me. But, you know, for anybody who thinks that was a real statement to players that you can't attack people like that, I would politely disagree, because I thought it was a violent, borderline criminal act, and, you know, 15 games really isn't that much in the big picture.
I would have suspended him for every game that Orpik was out hurt, plus 10.
Yeah, I would have no problem with that. I really wouldn't. It just, and the fact that, you know, I've dealt with Sean Thornton. He's always been a very pleasant guy to deal with. And that's what you've heard a lot in the last week. Oh, but he's a good guy who just made a mistake. But, you know, we're not judging him on if he's a good guy or not. We should be punishing what the guy did. And what he did was just an unbelievable act of violence. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was watching when it happened. And, and the fact that he's appealing this ruling now, to me, it doesn't make him look good, quite frankly. He came across afterwards as very apologetic, and, oh, he was so sorry about what happened. Well, if you're really that sorry and feel that bad, then take your medicine and take the punishment that the NHL gives you. The fact that he's appealing, I don't like it at all.
Three straight shifts he goes out, literally does stalk him. Is Claude Julien culpable at all?
You know, I think to some extent he is. And let me tell a real quick story I wrote about this. I was Sean less than a month ago when the Penguins were this incident, and specifically asked Thornton what it was like to defend Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. And he was kind of joking, but he made a joke out of it, but he then said, you know, Claude Julien's too good of a coach to ever let me on the ice against those guys. He said, I'm being serious. I'm the wrong guy to ask, because I hardly ever play against them. And if you go back video, you'll see Sean Thornton on the ice against Sidney Crosby three shifts in a row. And the reason for that is that Thornton happened to be on the ice with Sidney Crosby in all three of those shifts. So what does that tell you? It tells me that Claude Julien was sending Sean Thornton after Brooks Orpik. And it's pretty cut and dry to me. And that was just another, I mean, obviously I don't like what Thornton did to Orpik in the first place. And I don't like what James Neal did a few seconds earlier. I thought that was an awfully dirty play, too. But yeah, it was very clear to me that the Bruins were going after Orpik, and that coaching staff should be held responsible.
The NHL certainly, at least in my opinion, has made advancements in the last 10 years, getting itself into at least a deeper stream of sports consciousness in the country. But Brendan Shanahan has handed out a lot of suspensions this month alone. There's probably going to be another one on the Wilson play last night in the Capitals,
yeah,
Flyers game. Is he advancing the game because he's trying to make it more of a free-flowing, skating, fast game?
Well, here's the problem, and this is something that the league is dealing with. After the lockout of 2004, the league wanted a much faster, entertaining game, so they didn't open up the rules, took away enforcing the interference rules, I should say. But what happened was, when the game did become faster, it be more violent hits simply because everybody's moving at a faster rate of speed. And so I think it's one of the reasons you've seen drop the last turns actually pick up, if you're trying to slow down some of these guys on the forecheck. Because that's where you're seeing a lot of these violent. It's a more strong, but they also know if the game gets more violent. Like, if you were in Boston a couple of weeks ago when that incident happened, and you're there with your 10-year-old kid, have you explained to him what just happened?
Right.
You know, that's a huge problem for the league. And what would you say? I have an 11-year-old son. I didn't know what to say to him. Like, well, you know, a guy just got attacked on television.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a hockey game, so it's not even spot for the league.
One thing that was missed out in last year's lockout shortened season with that there was no January 1st game, that was going to take place at Michigan Stadium at the Big House. We're going to have it this time around. What kind of a shot in the arm is it for the league that they're going to have this game again?
Yeah, it's a good thing. I'll be honest with you. I've been to a couple of Winter Classics in person. Don't think it's that great of a thing in person when you're in a football stadium and you know, there's an ice rink, which is comparatively small to a football field. It's necessarily the greatest spectators. But if you're watching it on TV, there's nothing more impressive. I remember the game in Pittsburgh a few years ago at Heinz Field, you know, playing under the lights at Heinz Field. It's just a striking visual sight, and it gets huge TV ratings. It's kind of the actual start of the season, I think, for the NHL in terms of getting more casual to the game. So, yeah, it's a huge money maker for the league, and it is a big deal. And you have the Red Wings and the Maple Leafs playing at the Big House in Michigan, so we want 110,000 people there, so it should be quite an event.
Now, there are more and more of these outdoor events, and it's neat, especially when it starts to snow. It's really neat. And when Buffalo played the Penguins up in Ralph Wilson Stadium sure. A few years ago, it started to snow. It was really cool. But do they have to be smart about how many of these they have?
Yeah, I think they're getting pretty close to overdoing it, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think six or seven other per game this year, I think. They're playing the Blackhawks at Soldier Field on March 1st, which is be one of the marquee ones. That's NBC's big game for the Olympics. It makes the league money, so they like it. But I think you want to feel like a special event. And I know that it's going to feel as special. You're having these outdoor games almost every week during the winter. So I don't think you're going to see the NHL do quite as many in the future. I'm guessing this is the most you'll see this season.
Malkin's out a couple of games. Of course, they're never specific as to what what it happens to be. But what is it just going to be a couple of games based on what you know?
Yeah, he skated in Pittsburgh today. He will not play tonight against the Rangers, and he will not play tomorrow against Minnesota. But I think there's a real chance he'll play Saturday against Calgary. This is not a serious injury, and boy, it sure looked like it in Detroit when he was injured on Saturday. He was putting no pressure on his left leg. That was a really scary sight for him, I'm sure, because he's got the Olympics in 6 or 7 weeks, and it's home country, of course, and he's good hockey for the Penguins. But it is not a serious injury. I would expect no more than 4 or 5 days he'll be back.
Let's get a quick read on a couple of other things. Crosby, you mentioned Crosby earlier, how Thornton had gone out and skated against him three straight shifts. But Crosby's been able so far to, knock on wood, just go out and be Sidney Crosby. How much of a pleasure has it been to watch him really just be free and play?
It's been nice. It's been even more of a pleasure just to be around him every day and to see how much he's enjoying himself just playing hockey and not worrying about concussions or broken jaws or any of that good stuff. He's been terrific. He's, as we say, he's clearly the best player in the game, and if he can stay healthy for the entire season, he's going to win the scoring title. He's probably going to win the MVP award. That's just who he is. He's, the best player in the league, and he's 26 years old, right in the middle of his prime, and the thing with him, the more he plays, the better he gets. So 2 months from now, he'll be better than he is now. That's a scary thought for the rest of the league.
Josh, what do you like about this team at this stage, and what are some areas of concern at this stage?
Well, I like a lot. Their defense is much better than it's been really. And I mean that both in terms of their defensemen and their overall team defense. They're just focusing more on goal prevention, and it's very evident to me just watching them every game that they're a more defensively focused team. Obviously, you like their star power with Crosby and Malkin and Neal. And Marc-Andre Fleury, boy, he's in a good place right now. I know he has to play well in the playoffs to prove all the naysayers wrong, but he's doing all he can right now. He's been one of the best goaltenders in the league. The only thing I don't like about the Penguins is their lack of scoring depth. Their third and fourth lines are not particularly good, and their problem is if Crosby and Malkin aren't scoring, really no one else can. And I think you'll see Ray Shiro try to address that before the trading deadline in March, but he doesn't have a whole lot of salary cap space room to work with, so there will be no Kirill McGinleys or Brendan Morrows coming to town this year. Just the lack of depth, I think, is a major concern.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Does he have the flexibility to do it? I mean,
he has a little bit. But the last year they had $8 or $9 million under the salary cap. This year it's only $1 million, so if he is going to make a significant trade, he will probably have to trade someone off of his roster simply to clear off space, salary space, just to do it. So I don't expect anything huge because I think in general he likes his roster, but he'll certainly go out and try to get one kind of third line role player, I'm sure.
Josh Owey, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, joining us. What's the state of the league right now, now that we're into a full season of hockey?
Well, you know, the league, and the stuff we talked about earlier with all the violent hits, I mean, there have already been 10 suspensions in December,
right,
and that number is going to go up more in the next couple of days after what happened last night. Unfortunately, that's all people are talking about right now, and it's not a good thing for the league because we're, much like we see in the NFL, you could say there's eight different teams could win the Super Bowl right now in football, probably.
Yeah.
And in hockey, I mean, yeah, you've got a couple of teams that are, but there are probably seven or eight legitimate Stanley Cup contenders. The game's really good right now. There's a lot of star power. It's just a shame that it's being plagued by these other issues.
There was a game last week where San Jose came in to console and they played the Pens, which brings up the topic. Everybody's playing at least one game and everybody's building this year. Are you starting to see the fruits of that in terms of expanding the brand?
Yeah, it's a really good thing. I mean, if you're a Penguins fan, you've already had a chance to see Kemo Solani in your building this year, and he hasn't played Pittsburgh, I think, just once in the last 6 years or something like that. So, to me, it's a great thing. And, you know, next month I'll be on the trip in Western Canada when Crosby goes up to Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton. Sidney Crosby's been in the NHL for 8 years. He's only ever played in Vancouver and Calgary and Edmonton twice. And, you know, as you can imagine, they're just crazy hockey everywhere in Canada. And especially, you know, for them to see Crosby, it's like the Beatles coming to town. He shows up there. He has to do like four or five different press conferences. I mean, it's a huge deal. And I think, you know, even though he doesn't want to enjoy the attention too much, I think he does kind of enjoy playing in different venues like that. So, yeah, for fans around the league, it's a really good thing.
What does it say about him in terms of his commitment to expanding the brand and the sport that he's willing to do the number of press conferences you talk about? Because let's face it, he's the guy everybody does want to talk to.
He is, and you know, I think a lot like Wayne Gretzky a long time before him, accepts that role as the ambassador of the game. I mean, Sidney Crosby has been groomed really since the time he was a kid. He was 13, 14 years old. He was doing interviews, and his family was preparing him for this because, you know, when Wayne Gretzky sees you play when you're 15 years old and he says, other than Mario Lemieux, he's the best hockey player he's ever seen, you know, guess what? You know, at that age, you're going to have to be doing some interviews, and you're going to be a big part of the game, and he embraces it. I think he enjoys it for the most part. It's just part of his life. You know, he thinks twice about doing interviews and about, you know, spending his time to advance the game, and that's, it's something he does really well.
The Olympics, of course, means that they'll shut down for a short period of time in order to make this thing work. Do coaches have a better handle and do players have a better handle on how to handle it now because it's become commonplace?
I think so. But, you know, for certain teams, and the Penguins are absolutely one of them, the Olympics really aren't a good thing. I mean, the Penguins are going to have half of their roster in Sochi. They really are. Not just Crosby and Malkin, that Olli Maatta and Juuso Jokinen are going to be playing for Finland, and Brooks Orpik and Paul Martin will probably be playing for the United States. I can go on and on with all the Olympians they're going to have. So for the really marquee teams, you know, Chicago's in the same boat, Boston, the risk of injury and just their players wearing down are going to be a problem. In fact, Sidney Crosby told me during the lockout, I went back to 2010, and I said, man, if you guys had lost to Montreal, that draw might have opened up very nicely for you guys to win two straight cups. And he just shook his head and he said, no. And I said, why? He said, we were out of gas. He said, the Olympics just killed us. So that tells you that it's a problem. But I think this time around they'll have a better feel of what to do. Absolutely.
Josh, always an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time and, of course, the great insight.
All right. Thank you. Happy holidays.
Josh Owey, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Once again, it's another Destroy Kevin Day on the show. Yeah, it's okay to play everybody because it's really cool that he's in your building for the first time in years and the Olympics are a problem. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a 2005 Chevrolet Colorado, inspected with all stickers, just $12,494. A Carfax certified 2012 Ford Focus SE with low miles, just $13,962. HHR LT, new set of tires, $15,498. 2011 Toyota RAV4 Limited, $19,492. Diesel power for your big jobs. A 2011 Ford Super Duty F-350 with only 10,000 miles. Lowest price promise, $34,595. Call 570-286-7746.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout.
See the full inventory and schedule a test drive and see what your trade is worth, too, at sunburymotors.com.
At the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the best time of the year. It is. Beats August when it's hot and nothing's going on. Coming up in the next half hour, Bob, we're going to talk wrestling. We're going to bring Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lions, to talk about Zane Rutherford and about Iowa.
Bob's now going to be intent with the headphones on through the whole segment now. He will not miss that one.
Zane Rutherford, what an amazing performance.
Yes, an amazing performance indeed. Kevin, meanwhile, in the final half hour, we'll talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. It's time for the Kevin Hurd Rant of the Day at 4:40. Pent-up anger. Pure disgust.
I'm feeling good today. Sorry to disappoint you.
Why, somebody tell you it was August again?
Isn't it time for the news? Please.
News is next!